Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, in with Greg Pickle. And it's quarter number three of our show, and that means it's time to ask Greg. This is where we have Greg answer your Penn State football or recruiting questions. And if you want to submit a question, remember, you download our app. It's Keystone Sports from your app store. Or you could always email us at info@ksnsports.net. That's info@ksnsports.net. After the segment, we will select the best question, and the winner will get a great package courtesy of the tailgateclub.com. They have those great barbecue sauces from 409 Tailgate that we all love, plus many other great products like bacon ketchup and sweet banana pepper mustard, all really great stuff, and that's the tailgateclub.com. Greg, are you ready for our questions?
I am ready. Let's do it, Jim. And just keep in mind, we hope to pick a winner, right?
We hope to remember. Okay, that's the variable. Will we remember?
Yes.
Let's start with Tom from Blue Ash. I had to look it up. Blue Ash is in Ohio, Greg. I did not know that. Anyway,
noted.
Tom says, in comparison to the three amigos, Butler, Norwood, and Williams, I see Dotson sort of like the field-stretching Butler and Washington sort of like the sure-handed Norwood. Could you envision Lonnie White in the ever-versatile Williams role and possibly playing some Wildcat to boot?
Sure. You know, I think Penn State's going to have to decide, assuming it actually gets him to campus, right? Because, again, the MLB could steal him away if he's drafted high and decides to go that route. So, you know, assuming they get him to campus, Penn State's going to have to decide, much like it did with Micah Parsons, Jim, how much does it want to throw at Lonnie White in his first, Lonnie White Jr. in his first college season? How much does it want to, put on his plate, during the first couple of months before the season starts? Keep in mind, he's not a January enrollee. He's not a guy who was able to come to campus early. So his transition is going to be quick, and I know he's an elite athlete and a superstar talent, and that should make things easier. But at the same time, you know, I would just throw out there that maybe they look at it and say, you know what, we want to ease this guy in. We don't want to overwhelm him early. So I won't call it out of the question, Jim, but I think that might be asking a bit much for a guy only on campus a couple of months before the season starts.
And remember, he did play a lot of quarterback in high school. He is what you would call an elite athlete that I had thought about that envisioning him playing the Wildcat at quarterback also based on his experience and the fact that Will Levis is no longer on campus. But he's probably the recruit in this class I'm most anxious to see. And, yes, I'm also concerned about that baseball draft. I've seen mock baseball drafts where he's a first-round pick, and that means a lot of money coming in if
right.
You're a first-round pick. So he'll be getting a lot of advice, I'm sure. And candidly, if he asked me personally, I'd say go the baseball route. Get that sure money and go play baseball. All right, next up is Jared from Talmadge, Ohio. We got another Ohio guy coming. Jared says, of the reasons which were the biggest cause of last season's 0-5 start and overall 4-5 record, how would you rate these things? Micah opting out, no full spring or summer practices, or Penix's questionable two-point conversion. He also follows it up with a second question. If COVID didn't happen, what would the 2020 final record have been? He gives you an over-under of 9 wins.
Man, that's hard to say because they changed the schedule, right? They played a shortened season, so I don't really know how fair it is to try and go back and do that kind of a calculation with the benefit of hindsight. But I don't know. Before COVID, Jim, like back in January and February, we had talked on here, I had Penn State going over a win total of 9, if that's what we're asking. So I guess to answer that question, it would have been an over for me. I mean, look, Ray, when you asked to rank those reasonings, I mean, I don't think the team tried any less harder because Micah opted out. Did it make things harder for them? Yes, of course. There's no question about it. So, I mean, that one's up there. Obviously, if Penn State wins that first game, I don't think everything snowballs the way it did. But at the same time, losing to, the problems that they had weren't simply caused by losing to Indiana. You know, there were some other issues as well that were a challenge and that were not easily covered up. And so that was a problem, too. I'd have to put the no spring and summer practice at number one, Jim. I just don't think we'll ever be able to accurately kind of explain to people how much Penn State and any other program in a situation like it was hurt by a new offensive line coach, a new defensive line coach, a new receivers coach, and a new offensive coordinator. And none of those guys got regular practices with these players. And, you know, I can't help but to think about the quote of the offseason so far, and maybe it'll mean something when we look back on it down the road, maybe not, but, you know, Sean Clifford saying, oh, well, you know, I only was throwing to Parker Washington like 2 weeks before the first game. I mean, because of the way they split up practices, that's how it had to be. But, I mean, that's crazy. Just think about that for a second. So, to me, Jim, I think that has to be number one.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you, Greg, on this basis. Everybody else was facing the same issues that Penn State was. And, in fact, I recall last year thinking, you know, as organized as James Franklin is, I thought he would be better prepared to overcome all these issues. If I had to put it, rank what the issues were, Jared mentions Micah opting out, but I think if you add in Micah opting out, Journey Brown missing the season, Noah Kane missing the season, essentially, Pat Freiermuth missing a good part of the season, one could argue those are your four best players on the team. And add in Sean Clifford just was not very good in that 0-5 start. And you could probably say that has something to do with the spring and summer practices or non-practices. But I think it was at the talent level. They were short on talent. Let's move on to our next question. And let's go with Jason in State College, who says, hey, Greg, really love the show. Is there a player that no one is talking about that you think can have an impact in 2021?
Yeah, that's a fair question. Yeah, let me ponder that for a second, Jim. You know, there's a couple of guys I think that could be in that conversation. You know, I don't know if we're talking enough about Juice Scruggs and the fact that it sounds like he's getting first-team reps along the interior of the offensive line. I think if he puts it all together this year, Jim, he could be a super, a super addition to Penn State starting offensive line and really help shore things up on the inside, considering Penn State loses some pretty good former players there. So he's one guy who jumps out to me. You know, James Franklin has done it. I'm not really interested in jumping on the Cam Sullivan Brown train again because we've heard that before, only to not see it work out. But he's been mentioned by a couple of teammates as a guy who might finally be putting it all together. We'll see. I would not be putting my eggs in that basket personally, but of course, you know, he's been here a while and works hard. So if he did, I'm sure everyone would be happy for him. So on the other side of the ball, then, you know, we keep hearing, I mean, Kobe King and Kalen King are pretty much one step away from being anointed the best true freshman to ever step on campus in January. So, you know, I would be surprised if one of those guys didn't make some noise, but they're being talked about a lot, no question. So, you know, again, J.R. Brown, we've heard his name come up, but maybe not as much for a guy who it looks like is going to be a starting safety, so I think I would throw him out there as well.
One quick follow-up question on Juice Scruggs. You said it sounds like he's running first team. We've had this running question with him and Miranda, who will be a center and who will be the guard. Any inside scoop on which way they're leaning?
I mean, to me, I think it's pretty clear that Miranda will be the center and that Scruggs would be the guard. But I'm sure they're playing around with those matchups and those rotations and stuff during, during the offseason here so they can get a feel for where to start summer camp. But, yeah, I would guess that we're talking Miranda at center and Scruggs at guard.
All right, let's go to Don in Huntington, who says, with Franklin saying that Curtis Jacobs is a starter at linebacker, what does this mean for Jesse Luceda? Is he now a backup, or does he move inside and compete with Ellis Brooks?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a possibility. I also am not sure how close, you know, I don't know. Sometimes you have to read between the lines here, and it just makes you wonder if maybe he's not 100% here during, you know, during summer camp, but, or I'm sorry, during spring practice, but will be during summer camp. We'll see. I mean, I don't know. Curtis Jacobs was a five-star recruit, and I don't think it's a real shock to anyone, Jim, that, that he would fight his way to a starting spot, even if it's due to a guy being out of, you know, commission potentially. So we'll see. I could also see Lucetta moving back inside. There's no doubt. But again, I don't think Lucetta had the kind of season last year that would make you say, you know, without question, he needs to be guaranteed a starting spot. And I would say the same thing in a way about Ellis Brooks. And that linebacker group as a whole didn't tackle all that well, didn't play all that well. So, yeah, to me, that when you're talking Brandon Smith and Curtis Jacobs as likely starters, I mean, that doesn't really shock me. And, you know, with Lucetta, he was an outside starter, but he was also the backup in the middle. So I would think he's going to go back to fighting in the middle.
It's interesting, Greg, when the coaches meet the media, we're so starved for news from those. And oftentimes we get, you know, 30 minutes of just whatever player is asked about, we get superlatives. That when James Franklin, and he almost nonchalantly just threw it out there that Curtis Jacobs was a starter, that becomes the headline. And I think what makes it a headline, though, is very few times does the incumbent not at least begin the season as the starter again. So to make that jump, I go all the way back to Micah Parsons' first year. He was probably the most talented linebacker. But his first year, he didn't start, did he? They didn't put him in over the veterans.
Right, and so, you know, you can look at these situations as any number of things. Is it because the guy's not ready for that role? Is it because he has not earned that role, even though he might be the most talented? Is it something else? Does he not know the defense well enough? You know, do the fans not see the whole picture in terms of a guy's better in practice and maybe he looks in the game or vice versa? So, yeah, I mean, there's always a lot of possibilities when you have that kind of a discussion. So to me, you know, I think the biggest thing for Penn State moving forward here is they just got to obviously get to the point where they have their best three linebackers on the field, or their best two if they want to run more sub-package stuff as opposed to their base stuff. And I know against a team like Wisconsin, that's going to be hard, but other programs that they're going to face would be easier to do. So we'll see. But yeah, to me, Brandon Smith and Curtis Jacobs were both former five-star recruits for a reason. I think you have to let them try and play as former five-star recruits and see where things shake out.
Very good, Greg. That is it for our Ask Greg segment. Stick around in quarter number four. We're going to announce our winner. Stay tuned.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.